This is Stop and Think Radio, a sane signal in an insane world. Stop and Think Radio is the show that takes recovery mainstream, because we're all recovering from something. Now, your co-hosts for Stop and Think Radio. Here are Tim Horton and Al Matulowicz on TalkZone.com.
It's another edition of Stop and Think Radio. Hello, everyone. Tim and Al with you. And today we're going to talk about something that you might not think of as an addiction, something called people-pleasing. And there's so many people afflicted with this to varying degrees. Al, are you a people-pleaser?
I'd assume to some degree, definitely.
Yeah, I think we all are. And it's the people in the people professions where you got to interact with a lot of folks and talk with and cajole and hold the hands of people. Sometimes you have to be a people pleaser there too.
I can relate to those occasions more than often. However, I get the opposite. I deal in bad news. We got the wrong judge. We got to get it continued. No, they're not going to go for that. It's going to cost you more money. We need to do depositions. And I get an opportunity to act more like a preacher than a preacher. I got to confront people with truth. I'm doing it right in a small room, one-on-one, usually across from a desk as opposed to in a church or something like that. But accepting bad news seems to be the prime stock in trade for what I'm doing.
Well, people-pleasing is something that occurs generally from folks who have had an insufficient background growing up, where they haven't felt the warmth and love of an affirming parent and whatnot. Many times we like to be people-pleasers because it indeed helps us to be able to get along with people, but then we push it out of bounds a little bit, and we'll follow how that goes. You're listening to Stop and Think Radio. If you'd like to call at any time during the program and put in your 2 cents, the number to call is 888-446-5234, toll-free across the U.S., 888-446-5234. And also, we'd invite you to go to our website, stopandthinkradio.com, to find out more about the Stop and Think movement, the idea of stopping and thinking about your addiction. Maybe you don't even know you're addicted. It doesn't have to be booze. It doesn't have to be drugs. It can be one of many other things that can afflict you.
Well, one of the quotations you have from one of the studies you've got, whether addictions are psychologically or physically based, so there's your difference between gambling, let's say, or television versus drugs, alcohol, they share certain basic characteristics. They tend to have an obsessive-compulsive element. Who in American society isn't showing a measure of that? Coupled with behavior that ultimately has a detrimental effect on the rest of the person's life.
And it's
we all qualify in one way or another.
You can become addicted to something psychologically, and we've talked about this before. Actually, your brain changes its physiology through addiction. The brain, the neural pathways, and the chemicals that the brain secretes can actually change your brain because of increased addiction. In other words, the more you do something, the more your brain becomes addicted to it.
You're self-medicated from the brain on out. Mm. You look at the people-pleasing, people from traumatic backgrounds, alcoholics in their homes, etc. There's a lot of tension, people-pleasing, peacemaking. This comes as an effort to try to calm the situation. So the physiological reaction you get to the fear, the panic, the doubt, and insecurity through the addiction spreading through the home is compensated for by the people-pleasing. And it gives you a measure of false serenity because everything's pushed under the rug. Then you never have to face it, so you can put on a pretext of happiness. And that's why this is a self-sabotaging behavior.
Well, you know, it starts when we're kids. A little toddler learns how to please the people who have power over him as he kind of walks around and does what he wants. He can't reach things, so he's got to get people to reach things for him. Whenever you want something, you learn to either behave well or behave poorly. Sometimes behaving poorly will get you what you want,
well,
get you attention.
That's what's happened right before my eyes, is that it used to be people-pleasing was to act well in order to gain attention or approval. Now it's acting out. And just watching in the store earlier today or in the post office, the kids now act out, figuring that the only way to get the attention that they want is to make enough noise. And they've won the battle. Parents will no longer put down that behavior or refuse to tolerate it. They give into it. They people please their own kids to their own ultimate detriment and to the rest of us.
Yeah, and it's like the kids hold them in emotional bondage many times. You see a child who is just yelling and screaming. The kid, the parents do not want to be, you know, on the spotlight. They don't want to have everybody look at point at that kid and say, look how awful that kid's acting. So they give in to the child to have him stop the maladaptive behavior. And what happens? It reinforces that behavior. Hey, next time I'll do the same thing and get my way.
I've used this illustration with countless clients. You're a 3 or 4 year old kid. What do you do to get attention? You ask and ask and nag and nag, and then you find out if they say no, you raise the decibel level, you pout, you stamp your foot, and et cetera. Here's the crisis point. If at that point you give in, or if it escalates and you eventually give in, he's now seen that he can get you. The button has been pushed. He knows how to push it. But if you face up to the kid and not let him move you, then it'll be like an animal, basically. Next time around, he'll ask, but he'll give in quicker, ask, give in quicker. And eventually you can get that irresponsible, rebellious behavior out of him.
Yeah. And you have to be able to stand your ground. We have an autistic child. He's now 18 years old and doing very well. But there were times when he was growing up that autism manifests many times the idea of acting out bad behavior or, you know, taking a tyrant's type of a way where he wants something and he's going to stand his ground, dig his heels in and get it, you know? And so there was something called behavior modification that it sounds kind of like a prison camp, but it's not. Behavior modification was done with locally the May Center in Arlington, Mass, a great group who knows how to handle folks who are autistic. And it just was hand over hand, working very closely with individuals who are autistic to say, no, that's not the way we do it. We do it this way. Correcting, 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 to the point where it was just like insane how many times they had to correct. But after a while, it works. The person gets it in their head that this is the pattern that we're going to pursue. We are not going to pursue the other pattern.
Well, it reminds me of Ned Flanders. One day he flipped out and actually said a bad word to somebody and checked himself into the nut house. Oh, hi, Ned. Good to see you. Don't you remember you were here before? He had been raised in a super permissive home, raised by hippies and beatniks. So he was allowed to run around and do anything. So he was totally out of control. And eventually what his parents did was send him to a place like you describe, only in the cartoon version. Mm-hmm. What it was, he was spanked 12 hours a day every day.
12 hours a day.
Or something like that.
You know, now, is this Ned Flanders? Is this the guy from the Simpsons?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And so eventually he... you know, learned to own up to his behavior and behave. So now what he did then was stifle any negativity within him. Everything was oakley-dokely, everything's fine, everything's spun positive, but he's keeping all the stuff underneath him.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually he flipped one day and had to go back for retooling into the nut house.
Maybe we all need that, though.
I think we all need a little retooling. We need some steps of recovery.
From 12 hours a day. Basically, there's a high, there's a perceived high that happens to a person who is a people pleaser. And the high of being liked. I mean, we all want everybody to think well of us. We want everybody to think we're nice people. But for the person who is the obsessive compulsive people pleaser, that high is absolutely necessary for life. And so people pleasers go out of their way every day of their lives to say the right words, do the right things to be liked, and then to get that high. And you've met people pleasers. I mean extreme people pleasers.
Sure.
I had one that worked with me once, or worked for me once, in radio. And he was amazing. He would gush every time he would talk. Oh, Mr. Horton, have I told you lately, you are the greatest boss, and I love working here, you know. And you'd look down at the floor and you'd say, well, come on, will you cut it out? Nobody's really like this, you know. Too good to be true, gushing all the time.
All talk and no action.
Yeah, and it was unfortunate because it became a strain on the relationship. Because when people do that, sometimes you don't trust them. If they're constantly gushing, constantly saying just what you want to hear, being totally agreeable, being the best of the best, you start to look and say, now, what's real and what's unreal about this person?
Well, like I said, given my background with what I've been doing, representing people, as I've said oftentimes, if I do a good job in court, half the people in that room hate my guts.
Yep.
And the other half is smiling and beaming because I did well, or vice versa. And I knew to accept that early on. Like, I think I told this story. First week I'm an attorney, I'm in the offices of Channel 5 asking Natalie Jacobson's permission to look at a video of she'd done some interview of a prostitute in some combat zone investigation where her pimp allegedly was our client. So I'm doing the Nazi defense, following orders to go look at this video. If the look that she gave me could kill, I wouldn't be here. And if I remember getting onto 128, driving out from the place, saying to myself, is this what I have to look forward to? Mm. So given the nature of what I've done, I certainly can't afford to be engaging in people-pleasing, though it's a helpful thing if you could find a way to do what you do and not people have be too offended.
Well,
the truth is offensive.
Yes, it is. These people-pleasers constantly want this high of everyone saying, you've done a good job, and wow, you're a great person. And that high comes from the fact that they did not get that recognition, did not get those kudos when they were young kids. In fact, many were starved for it, so it feels so good to get positive reinforcement and positive feedback that it's addictive. It
Absolutely.
Really is an addictive behavior.
What goes with that, I find, particularly in the under 40s, is an inability to be told no, because that comes with it. They have such a desire to people please, it becomes self-sabotaging. It gets to the point where they won't act unless there's going to be something that'll give them that sense of pleasure, distorted or otherwise. And the one thing you can't say to people pleasers or otherwise, is no.
Mm-hmm.
It sets them off. Either because they're hurt, or they're angry because their will has been thwarted.
And once they hear no, they feel it's a failure to be effective in their people-pleasing, and they go right back to around the corner trying to do it some other way. It becomes obsessive.
Right. They keep looking outside themselves that some behavior will do the trick to get them over when they don't recognize. They don't know that the problem is with them and they need to be looking at the mirror. That as they become more self-adjusted and well-adjusted, they'll be more received and better received.
You're listening to Stop and Think Radio. Are you a people pleaser? Are you the type of person that goes out of your way to garner great adulation from folks and to say, you know what, I've done a great job, don't you think? Have you ever met people where they'll do a good job, then they'll say to you, don't you think I did a great job? Isn't that wonderful? Aren't I great? And they don't even hear themselves say it. They're so starved for positive reinforcement.
What it is that it's a perverted form of narcissism. It's all about them, ultimately, how you react to them, whether or not you say something good about them, but it still all comes back down to them. And they don't realize that self, here's a classic illustration of where self is the enemy of your true self.
Well, people caught up in this vicious cycle of people-pleasing that we're talking about end up sacrificing their entire personalities to the whims of others. They try so much to be the type of person that the other person wants that they lose their identity. They become obsessed with finding out just what buttons to press. This happens in the boss and employee relationship a lot, where, you know, you'll hear a disgruntled employee say, I've done everything. I've sacrificed everything. I've done everything that boss has asked me to do, and I still am not making it. They lose themselves in people-pleasing. The need to be themselves is totally eclipsed by the need to please. Confused thinking is an addictive behavior. It's the external approval will offer the very thing that they have sacrificed to get it, their own self-worth. So these people give their own self-worth over to the people who are the more dominant boss types, and they actually lose their own personalities.
And then they become resentful because, of course, heaven forbid, the people who they've given their personalities to don't treat them the way they presume that they were supposed to have or should have or ought
yes.
to have. So then it ends up becoming a double-edged sword.
And there it is.
You
yeah.
fail to develop, and then you've gotten hateful feelings to the person who you've surrendered to on top of that.
So not only have you lost your personality, your goals, your aspirations, and things that you want, you have preferred the other person so much that when they don't respond the way you think they should, with maybe gratitude or whatever, then you're resentful. And the resentment brings bitterness, brings hate sometimes, and you can lose yourself in that even more.
Well, remember that old Clint Eastwood movie, Play Misty for Me? He's at the bar. goes through some kind of gimmick to pick up the woman at the bar. He thinks it's just an occasion.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks it's something more, doesn't want to let go, starts showing up at his house.
Yeah.
By the end of the movie, she's trying to kill him.
Yeah, that's like the one with, what was it, Meryl Streep or Glenn Close?
Glenn Close with Michael Douglas.
Yeah, what was
Fatal
it?
Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. You're the movie man. You know all about this.
I've seen a few.
Oh, but you know, that Fatal Attraction was like that. She was absolutely a people pleaser at first, and boy, when they turn, when a people pleaser turns, that's scary stuff. We're going to talk more about that and how to break free from the self-sabotaging people-pleasing habits in your relationships, and we'll talk more about that coming up in just a moment after the break. You are listening to Stop and Think Radio, your daily mental health vitamin. We want you to give us a call at 888-446-5234, 888-446-5234, or go online, stopandthinkradio.com, and find out more about the idea of people-pleasing or any other particular habit that you might have that may be turning into an addiction. StopAndThinkRadio.com. I think you'll like our website. And we'll be back in just a moment. This is the Stop and Think Radio Network.